We are in radio.
On the programme today, just one conversation.
We're looking now at these Keynsham in Bloom, 2017's version of flowers and planters all the way along this tired and previously very run down Ranker shops. But it's all flowering and blooming, and people are surprised that none of this has been damaged overnight. I mean, it's extraordinary that these flowers, all of them at the right hand height for teenagers, rip them off. It hasn't happened. And that's because the people around here have made this area something which is alive, something which is relevant, somewhere where they can go and get help, somewhere where they can go and get organic food, which has all been collected from local supermarkets and stuff like that, in addition to the local food banks anyway. And I'd like to think that the radio operation here has been part of that, whether it's given it more kudos, whether it means that more people we've had coming in and out of their door, making it a more used person. I wouldn't want to make any claims because there's some really good people here doing some really good work, and we're just one part of that, but hopefully a useful part. In radio.
I'm Dom Chambers, and this week I'm talking to Rick Davison, who is the main driving force behind the Keynsham Town Community Radio Group that has submitted an application to Ofcom to run a licensed community radio station in the town that lies between the cities of Bath and Bristol. Now, every year I go out across the nations of the United Kingdom and I visit community radio stations. This year, in the month of August, I covered 2,000 miles and 12 radio stations. Normally, I head north as quickly as I can, but this year my tour starts just round the corner from where I'm based, which is Summer Valley FM, just southwest of Bath. And as you'll hear from my discussion with Rick, Summer Valley FM and myself have had a strong part of the development of community broadcasting in Keynsham. Keynsham, incidentally, is a place of many associations. Back in the days of the 1960s, when rock and pop music struggled to find airtime anywhere, well, the young people of the day spent a lot of time listening to Radio Luxembourg. And for them, you may now wallow in the nostalgia of the name Horace Cyril Batchelor. Fantastic name. He's not going to be an accountant with a name like that. Or perhaps very nearly he was. Strongly associated with advertising on Radio Luxembourg, he contrived a way of predicting pool results, I think. I don't know, it's a bit before my time, and football certainly is off my beaten track. The important thing is, he lived in the town of Keynsham, and it was repeatedly mentioned on Radio Luxembourg, and they always had to spell it out, because the way it is written and the way it is said is rather different, and it's not very obvious. Some might say, particularly our American cousins maybe, that it is a bit of a trait of Britain that we have these impossible place names and no hint of how to pronounce them comes through their spelling. So in the early days of the development of modern radio, Keynsham had a very strong association with that, rather appropriate to the way the discussion develops in this edition of the programme. Now this idea that there was some sort of in-joke about the name Keynsham proved rather inspirational to one of the great comedic brains of the day, and I'm thinking here of Viv Stanshaw. Now, as you may recall, the outlet of his humour, fantastic as it was the Bonzo Dog Band. Occasionally, I think they inserted Doodah in there somewhere as well. And they produced an album called Keynsham. Well, they say that if you remember the 1960s, you weren't there. But there is a chance, though, for record collectors of the day, you just might have a copy of that lurking somewhere at the back of your record collection. For chocolate lovers, Keynsham also has a happy association, for that is where the Fry's Chocolate Factory was until very recently, and was one of the most significant employers of our area, along with coal mining and printing. But perhaps most famously for people who live both in the area and outside of it, it is the Keynsham Music Festival for which we most associate with this town. And as the guy who runs that event, Rick does bring it into our conversation. Most importantly, though, this conversation establishes not only the need for a growing community broadcasting service in Keynsham, but actually highlights many of the issues that justify the need, and I would say essential need, for community broadcasting anywhere. But enough of my prelude, let's get to it. So back in early August in the summer of 2017, I packed my suitcase for a couple of weeks away, but just half an hour later, I was pulling up in Queen's Road, Keynsham, outside of Community at 67. At that stage, all the sweat and toil that had gone into the application process was a very recent memory. Sensing the relief that they'd made the deadline, it was natural for my first question to Rick to find out how it had gone.
It's quite a complicated story. It was, to my way of thinking, in terms of all kinds of applications you have to do now, from local funding groups or to Arts Council funding, it was a very short notice, although, you know, we're a group of volunteers and we could only get together for essentially the 4 weeks prior to the application submission date, deadline. We kind of tried to do some individual preparation and then we met with 4 weeks to go. And having learnt more about the whole application procedure and the mighty form that has to be completed, we were at a point when we thought, well, we can't do this. This is going to cost 600 quid. And we can't do this properly. And the money will be wasted. And then we spoke ourselves into saying, well, we'll never get another chance, probably. So we actually cannot miss this opportunity. And with your kind of support and the support of one or two other local radio people in the area from various local stations around Keynsham, around Bristol, and yourself and Miss Summer Norton, we kind of convinced ourselves that we had to give it everything we possibly could in that 4 weeks. Kind of suddenly we had different people and good people supporting us, and we managed to pull that all together to an application which is certainly the best we could do. Whether it's good enough or not, time will tell.
Let's park that for a second and let's think about where community radio in Keynsham has come from. We met a few years ago, Rick, because Bath and North East Somerset Council awarded Summer Valley FM some funding in order to trigger radio training in other parts of its areas of jurisdiction, because they could see the positive impact that community radio was having in the Midsummer Norton and Radstock area. And so that led to you joining a training group, and the outcome of that was, of course, the Keynsham Hour. But what inspired you in the first place to come and get some radio training?
Well, if you'd asked me, 3 years ago, that I would ever present or be a part presenter of a radio programme, I would have thought you're absolutely mad. But it wasn't just me. A couple of other local people interested. We thought, well, training for radio for Keynsham. Keynsham has no community radio at all. We're just outside of your Somer Valley coverage. And it's a growing town. It's a town with a massive sort of community tradition. And both young Seb and I are involved in that anyway, in various guises around the town. And we thought, you know, well, let's go and see what happens. It's going to be fun, if nothing else. And it was fun. It requires stickability. You can't become a radio expert overnight. And there's no quick fix. And I think a lot of people who embarked on the training, there was quite a big group originally, you know, the actual training and the ramifications of it kind of sorted the sheep from the goats, I suppose. And I just remember one night we were here for a training session and something got you got held up or something, and we were sat there and the equipment or the equipment as we then had it was here, and we said, well, let's just get on with it. Let's just make a Keynsham program for an hour. We can provide some music, which is like locally has a local subject or topic to it. We're quite rich in local music, which is one of the sort of saving graces of this. And we made the programme and sent it to you, or you came later and had it. And to our complete astonishment, you said, that's okay, right, we're going to put that out next Thursday in the lunch hour slot on Somer Valley FM. And we haven't actually missed a Thursday since, and what's that, 2.5 years ago, which is astonishing. I mean, it just wasn't planned, not in that way at all. And it's great fun to do. You know, it's like internet. A website is no good if it hasn't been updated in the last few days. It becomes obsolete very quickly. And you can't have a radio show advertised and running every week and then suddenly miss one because someone's got the flu. You actually have to make do. And I'm very proud of what we've done. And whether it leads to an FM licence for Keynsham, one which I believe will be extremely well received locally, and will be very, very well supported locally. There's the anomaly that applying for it before you've actually got a radio station, and we are lucky, we are blessed with a small studio, with the originally fitted out by Somer Valley FM, we can actually make decent radio here in Keynsham. But we can't apply as an already established company. We are an established company now. We've done masses, you know, incorporated and articles and all the rest of it, you know, named directors over the last 4 weeks. We've done the lot from nothing to a whole established company, whereas before we were a group of volunteers working, like, under your parentage. We're now an independent company with all the rest of it. And whatever happens next, whether we don't achieve this particular FM license for Keynsham on this particular application, I mean, we are set up for the next one. And if necessary, I suppose the one after that.
We've identified there then that there was this initial interest in community radio. And as you say, it does take people to really commit, and not everybody can do that. And people drop away often for very, very legitimate reasons. But you ended up with a very solid band of a good three of you, with two or three others supporting as well. But that situation, with all the commitment, 2.5 years later, has now elevated, I would say, to a new scope of energy. And that is because of the window open at Ofcom, isn't it? I mean, you've just mentioned that there is now a constituted company. So, you know, where are we now, irrespective of the fact that the application has gone in? There are developments going on, aren't there?
Yep. Kind of let me say, you know, we make a weekly one-hour show, and that's great. And I mean, in a small studio, you want three or four people to be involved in the production and, you know, the editing and the compilation of that show. You can't have 10 people doing it. And our problem at the moment is we want people to be involved. There are people showing signs of being involved, but we can only offer one program a week, and that can't be a drum and bass program, and it can't be, you know, a country and western solely program. And so we can't harness the local enthusiasm we've got without more broadcast time and airtime. And once we had that license, I believe that both funding and both a wider range of volunteers will be forthcoming quite easily. As it happens at the moment, you know, we are continuing, we're kind of innovating with what we do. We now have, as I said before, a fully formatted company. We've brought in directors, and we've got a spread of directors who are sort of key people in the local community. One of them is the editor of the local weekly paper in Keynsham. Another one is an engineer and administrator for the local talking newspaper for the blind, who in fact create their own weekly radio show, and it goes out to everybody on cassette. Well, you know, we're looking to the future where that weekly show, and they have their own studio too, will go out on Keynsham Town Community Radio with its own FM license. So we're kind of ready to jump as soon as we hear good or otherwise news from Ofcom on this application. If it's bad news initially, then we're already thinking of other ways of expanding. You know, obviously internet radio on a bigger basis is one of them. We're thinking in terms of maybe those local digital broadcasting opportunities in the future. And whatever comes up as a result of the last 5 hectic weeks, we're going to be in a position to jump. The FM licence is kind of, to us, it's a licence for money. There are good funders in Keynsham that we as a group have used in other activities before, and as soon as we've got the licence to put under their nose, I'm absolutely convinced, I have no doubt whatsoever, that people are going to be supporting financially the setup and the initial kind of running.
So what's your vision then? How do you see it going? And let's assume for a second that you get the licence.
I think that the formula we have, a one-hour radio magazine programme about Keynsham, which is pretty topical, pretty relevant, and also quite sort of challenging, and hopefully pulls no punches. It's, you know, the people who listen to it regularly do enjoy it enormously, and I think, well, they tell us they do. And we're looking to expand that into 5 or 6 hours a week, you know, and then supported with other music programmes and stuff, and continue to grow. But totally, as far as I'd be concerned, on the same model that we are already. So it really is a community radio station for Keynsham. The area of broadcasting will overlap into South Gloucestershire, and that's an opportunity to attract a lot of people from South Gloucestershire to Keynsham for the local economy, for things like shopping, for things like entertainment, and for social reasons, because the thing about Keynsham is this is all happening. Well, lots of things are happening in Keynsham, and the place is growing and becoming more of a social hub and is kind of reinventing itself and regenerating itself. And we can be very much part of that, a sign of it, but also a cause of it. That's how I see us in the future. We will be pioneering things that can happen, opportunities, and hopefully it will sort of galvanise the whole community, both business, shopping, retail, economic, but also social and artistic. And I was just sitting down thinking the other day, let's do some radio drama. Let's have our own local version of, I won't say the Archers, but something along those lines. I thought that would be really fun. We have amateur dramatic people here, lots of them, who come into the studio and do a radio play. And the possibilities are endless. It's just a matter of energy, and I think we've got a community which has that energy if we have the facility and the underlying structure to make the best of it.
You've alluded there, Rick, to the fact that Keynsham is a rapidly changing place. It is expanding. And any community that is expanding with new building projects and incoming populations has some challenges around how the community coexists and how people work together where people have traditionally lived in this area, and perhaps how they're mingling with incoming populations, some of whom, of course, may not be having English as their first language. And how do you see community radio acting then in Keynsham as a socially cohesive force?
That's not easy to answer quickly. Keynsham, does not have currently a particularly varied ethnic community. It does have quite an active community in all sorts of other ways. And we're not short of people coming forward. We never have to go around the street begging people to come on the show. There are plenty of people, plenty of organisations who are very prepared. Here's another way that we can get free advertising or publicise what we do or our cause or our purpose. Sometimes we're actually showing out, yeah, we'd love you to come on and do that, absolutely, no doubt, but can you wait a couple of weeks? Because the next couple of weeks we're busy having guests and features on the programme. Again, as I say, currently we only have 1 hour a week on which to make that show. So we've not yet, in 2.5 years, been faced with the possibility of, we've got nobody to come on the show. People are more likely knocking on the door, and we can... Therefore, we have the luxury of spreading things out and planning that in advance and trying to get people on in time for them to publicise their event, a good few days before the event and all that kind of stuff.
Under your vision then, and Rick, you have mentioned, of course, there are other people and, to some extent I'm involved, there are other people as well. But you are the driving force, and that's why I'm doing this interview with you. If you've got a fair wind behind you, all right, 5 years down the road, how do you see it?
Just very difficult, because at the moment we're limited by, the parameters under which we exist as an organisation. And I'm thinking, well, we get a licence, 5 kilometre radius of all the rest of it, and how will that actually be more restricting? At the moment, that will be totally liberating. Whether that ends up to be a restriction itself, but I would have thought, people will switch on and they'll have it on because they know that they will hear useful local information about what's going on. They will hear points of view, comments. They will hear people being critical of, the big chestnut, of course, is local authority planning, especially with new housing and development that's going on. But they will find something of interest and something to kind of keep people informed about what's happening and keep people able to participate in discussion, local affairs, either by, the radio service galvanising people, putting them in the right direction, making sure people know which meetings to go to or which local authority consultations, or just, giving people a voice in addition to the local newspaper voices. And I think I can safely say that with a couple of big things in Keynsham that have already happened in the last 2 years, a complete U-turn on the refurbishment of part of the town centre, which includes the leisure centre, which initially the local authority seemed to want to demolish and build on the outskirts of town. I think KTCR, as it stands with its current limitations, was quite a force in galvanising public opinion to say, no, we want it in the centre of town. It has to be at the hub of where everything happens in Keynsham. We don't want an empty space there. And the extraordinary experience of achieving like a U-turn on local authority thinking, and that Leisure Centre is now currently, as we speak, beginning a massive refurbishment, and it will remain at the heart of Keynsham. And that is where so many young families, young children, it's a meeting place, it's a social gathering, it's a sort of self-help place for people to meet. And that's only one thing. I mean, that's not the be-all and end-all by any means, but it is one important thing. And the local community working together, with the radio pretty much involved in that, is 18 months ago now, did achieve the unthinkable, which was a U-turn and a complete change of heart from the local authority. I mean, that's just magic.
We're here at the facility at Community at 67, which is a community hub. How do you see collaborations, and who are you going to work with? Who would you like to work with? Who are maybe charities or other kinds of authorities or other kinds of community groups within Keynsham in order to realise the vision of KTCR?
Well, I think the strength of the application to Ofcom that we've just submitted is that we can actually show, and we have testimonies and we have evidence, that the radio in Keynsham, as it stands at the moment, is an effective open door to almost anyone who wants to have something to say, wants to promote a certain thing. I have no doubt that that will continue and it will become more and more used. And I'm looking at certain groups within Keynsham. Let's say, the local green environmental group, Transition Keynsham, they have some good people there. They could easily deserve their own hour show. So instead of being a 10-minute feature on the Keynsham Hour at the moment, they can have their own show. And they actually have the talent within their group. Like they have an ex-BBC radio producer, is one of the leading lights of Transition Keynsham. They can use the facilities that we will have to offer them, make their own show, whether they do it on a monthly or bi-monthly basis. And I think there are a number of groups in Keynsham who can do that, and they will actually build up our original, locally produced quota of hours. I would have thought quite quickly once we have the FM licence to wave in front of people, you know, we won't have the restriction where people will say, well, look, you know, we have to listen to this on the internet. You know, people just want to switch on the radio and actually hear. And it will give it so much more purpose and meaning and kind of immediacy to a whole range of people. You know, we feature the elderly. I mean, on the Keynsham Hour at the moment, in the last 2 years, we have had 5- and 6-year-olds from the local schools. We've had 90-year-olds making valuable contributions to discussions from this particularly local hub where we're currently lucky enough and to be based, and where we are very generously hosted. And we become part of that hub in an area of Keynsham which, you know, a lot of people would say, well, that's probably one of the areas where we don't often go. Or the radio, I think, as you know, and the great work that this community at 67 hub is doing anyway, irrespective of the fact that they host a radio studio inside the building. But all combined and all being sort of organic, it's making this, it's transforming this area, Keynsham, I actually think. I mean, we're looking now at these Keynsham in Bloom, you know, 2017's version of flowers and planters all the way along this tired and previously very run-down rank of shops. But it's all flowering and blooming. And people are surprised that none of this has been damaged overnight by teenagers or vandals. People, I mean, it's extraordinary that these flowers, all of them at the right hand height for teenagers, rip them off. You know, it hasn't happened. And that's because the people around here have made this area, you know, something which is alive, something which is relevant, somewhere where they can go and get help, somewhere where they can go and get organic food, you know, which has all been collected from local supermarkets and stuff like that, in addition to the local food banks anyway. And I'd like to think that the radio operation here has been part of that, whether it's given it more kudos, whether it means that more people we've had coming in and out of their door, making it a more used person. I wouldn't want to make any claims, because there's some really good people here doing some really good work, and we're just one part of that, but hopefully a useful part.
One of the things that Keynsham is noted for outsiders, is this fantastic annual music festival, which you happen to be the director of. And I think one of your reasons for getting involved with the radio side of things is because in a way you're already involved with the creative side of our community here. How do you see that partnership maybe developing?
That's absolutely right, except I'm not a director. I'm the paid organiser, paid by the directors. And equally, young Seb, who started this with us, and through the music festival was at one point in time the youngest company director in the UK, just for, I think, his 17th year. And he now, of course, has his own show on a Saturday night on Soma Valley as a result of the initial training that took place here. And he's doing odd jobs with various other local broadcasting people. And I mean, he is destined, hopefully, to be the studio manager of the new licensed KTCR, because he's young enough and energetic enough. And, you know, he is probably a far more important person behind this than what I am. But both of us are also very busy with local music and on the Gainsborough Music Festival. And we kind of have a record of building stuff up and, you know, dealing with company law, and in case of Music Festival now dealing with the Charity Commission and all that kind of stuff. So he's a very young, wise head in this whole thing of sponsorship, donations, you know, money applications. And so between us, the great experience of that and the contacts and the knowledge that we've gained, but it also gives Keynsham also, or the KTR so far, it also gives us a special thing on music, because we have an immense catalogue. Over 500 bands apply to play at Keynsham Music Festival every year. It's been rated in some magazines the top three of community free festivals. And we have an enormous pedigree of bands. I mean, this year, by strange coincidence, we have people from Los Angeles, two bands from Los Angeles playing at Keynsham, which is like absolutely extraordinary, and it would take another hour to explain how that came about. But it's because of the work that people are doing, and all voluntary, all through enthusiasm, and quite often the refusal to accept the idea that, no, we can't do that. And that's obviously a very important thing. I mean, there would be no application, there'd be no KTCR if people said, no, you can't do that, you can't keep that going, or you can't manage that. If what happens if you get accepted? Well, we know what we'll do and all the rest of it. And it's refusal to say no. And it does mean that we have rarely played any music on KTCR that hasn't had a direct link with Keynsham. We're lucky enough to have the original Horace Batchelor adverts on Radio Luxembourg from the 50s and 60s. So we've got that as a kind of background, a comical one from where we stand now to use. We have the Bonzo Dog Band album, Keynsham, which, of course, is, you know, not very many people in Keynsham remember the Bonzo Dog Band or how that came about. And it's making the name Keynsham sort of quite well known, both locally and now nationally. And, I mean, when I say we have 500 applications to come and play in Keynsham every year, I'm talking worldwide. We never don't have any from Italy. We never don't have any from Australia or New Zealand. And some of these people are never actually going to come here, but some of them do. So we've had acts from South Africa, Israel, Denmark, France. Every year, somebody will come because these are people who want to get their music known in the UK. And if they can get a festival diary of gigs across the summer, then they do. You know, they don't actually know what they're coming to. But I'll tell you what, when they come to Keynsham, they're so complimentary about how lovely and local, but also big and professional. 16,000 people in Keynsham Park, four stages, you know, 40 bands. So out of that 500, we have to somehow, you know, choose 40. And it's always very hurtful to say, sorry, we just can't fit you in this year, but please apply again next year. I mean, it all links together. And working for one is also working for the other in all sorts of ways. You know, there's a lots of overlapping areas, and you know, there's no sort of end scene to this, where one ends and another begins. And of course it means, you know, it's a big voice in the local community, artistically. But the other thing is, this is where we have scored many brownie points, I think, over the last years, is just like a more grown-up approach to the whole thing. Having this music festival here brings in, and we've had the audience agency surveys and stuff, brings in £500,000 to the Keynsham economy on one weekend. You know, the local radio will be advertising to an area slightly larger than Keynsham itself that Keynsham is a place to come. It's going to be an advert for the sound, for the area, and for the local economy, even without actually having advertising on the show, which will obviously have to happen if we expand. I think people are, you know, actually taking it seriously. You know, the Chamber of Commerce, the, you know, music festival, rock and roll music. Actually, we have opera, we have classical music and all sorts in the music festival. But they're beginning to see that, you know, this just isn't a fun weekend in the park. This is actually serious for the local economy. And the local radio will follow exactly along those lines. And why will it? Because we kind of know how that works. We're forewarned with that. We don't need to discover that in the future. We already know that that potential and opportunity is there.
Well, Rick, it's just under 3 years since we first gathered in this building at Community at 67 in Queen's Road. And a little ramshackle bunch that was. It's really good talking to you today with the application in. The vision is in place. You've got great ideas and great energy, and I hope a developing team behind you. I'm looking forward to coming back in a year or so's time and finding out how you're getting on. In the meantime, how do people get in touch if they want to know more about it?
Well, KTCR has to grow, and it's got to establish its own sort of kind of media and social media thing. We have a Facebook page. That's all we have at the moment. Obviously, our website is fairly closely around the corner. We are very local, and everybody who needs to get in touch with us kind of knows how to get in touch with us. They come to Community at 67, or they use our own. Seb and I both have emails which are the same, but they are music festival emails, and they become the normal way, because we don't have a sort of wider infrastructure to do that yet. That's all in the future, should we be lucky enough to obtain this license. But if somebody wants to email me now or Seb, they email info@canechamfest.co.uk. And I mustn't forget the third person in our kind of trio of getting to where we stand now, and that's George, who isn't part of the music festival, but she does our community spotlight stuff. And I don't want to miss George out of this conversation that we're having, but info@canechamfest.co.uk will get to us at the moment. But I think our first job as a newly incorporated company is to, one of the first jobs before we know whether we have a license or not, is to sort that aspect of things out. But Canesham is kind of, it's a strange place because it's so close to Bristol and Bath, and yet it's got its identity, and it's an identity we want to keep and we want to nurture. And it's also got that, you know, very much a small market town feel where people who are involved in things very quickly know everybody else who's involved in things. And so there's a lot of organic toing and throwing of ideas and contacts. So it's not necessarily be a problem at the moment, because somebody will always know how to find us. But obviously we expand, we want more people involved, we need more volunteers, we have regular contributors, elderly people doing local history and stuff like that. But we're going to need a lot more as we sort of face this challenge of how do we get to the next hurdle if this comes off. So yeah, the social media is something we have to sort out immediately in preparation for what may come next.
Well, Rick, you've mentioned you've got some hurdles, you've got some challenges ahead. You've clearly reached this point, which has been, I think, incredibly pleasing for me to witness, having been part of the start of it. It's great seeing you here today, and I can't think of a finer way of starting my community radio tour across the UK in 2017.
Thank you very much, Tom. And, you know, you're not just driving off from here, you know. Your support so far has been absolutely crucial, and we may need quite a bit more of it in the next couple of years, depending on how this works out. And to Phil Gibbons and the other people involved on the fringe with Soma Valley FM, who've been an enormous help to us recently. I mean, you know, if you're starting off a local radio and you can handle the technology to make the programmes, but you don't have any kind of heritage background in radio at all, you really do need some people who have in order to help and support. It's absolutely crucial.
In radio, radio.
And wishing Rick and all the team at Canesham Town Community Radio all the luck in the world with their application. Shouldn't be too far off hearing about that, I wouldn't think. Incidentally, on my summer tour of community radio, I also popped in to Leyland Festival Radio, who are another applicant in this round with Ofcom, and I've a really good conversation with Brian Ashman. Well, that'll be a joy for another occasion. And indeed, there will be more conversations with community radio managers, volunteers and chairs as I progress round the country this summer. But that most certainly is it for this week. If you have an idea you would like including in Third Sector on In Radio, do get in touch with me, Dom Chambers, at Summer, S-O-M-E-R, at summervalleyfm.co.uk. And I'll catch you back here very soon.
Online 24/7, this is the radio industry's very own radio station. In Radio.